at least adequately not bad looking people are on our show today.
Just avoid the subject altogether.
Don't mention the looks.
No. They're everyone perfectly attractive, but just leave it out of it.
Okay. People who could be attractive are coming on the Backpack Show today. Let's just leave it to anybody else's opinion.
You are punchy at 7 p.m. Eastern.
I guess I am.
Yes, you are. Oh, look.
There's my father, my biological father, Steve Brogan, and his wife, Diane Brogan.
Literally, we were just saying we missed you yesterday.
Boy, did we miss you. Hey, we have a show today that's not the same as yesterday.
Differentiation. So today's show is differentiated.
It's first different.
We're going to talk with Eric Simon, who is the creator of The Broke Agent, which is a media brand focused on the entertainment of real estate professionals. But he's funny. I mean, you can appreciate the humor even if you're not in real estate, I'm just going to say. And we'll talk with strategy innovator Carla Raines about her book Differentiated and her abstract art.
This is going to be big. So buckle up, buttercups. What is Suo mean? Hey, Jacob. Jacob's over on his Twitch account for today.
Oh, I love Jacob.
I'm into it.
Oh, it's 1 a.m. in Italy.
1 a.m. in Italy.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, sorry, Ricardo. All right. Buckle up, buttercups. We have a new intro today. Thank you, Dan.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Kerry Gargone.
So without him saying boom shakalaka, I add it in my head now like a doofus.
My son loved that you laugh right when the siren goes off. He like thought that was hysterical. So
I think it works just right.
I don't know. I do. I miss boom shakalaka though. Mm. You're right.
We'll have to ask Stubble Judge for a ruling. I wonder how he could do it.
Hi from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Evan.
Fancy openings, is Janice.
Oh, yes.
We'll have to take a vote whether they like the new one or the old one.
The old one, I know. I won't. My heart, my feelings
so
won't
in love
be hurt.
With the old one.
My feelings won't be hurt.
Maybe you'll win. You don't know.
Amazing intro. Aww. Better than mine. Well, you know, all you got to do is hire Stubble Judge on Twitch. He will make you an incredible intro.
Jacob, my son just got over 100 subs. He's very excited. Starboard Jack.
Uh-oh. There's some terrible things happening shortly. Hey, let's grab Eric Simon, the Broke Agent. We've got to learn a little bit about this because, I don't know, there's a lot to this one.
So you decide, I don't want to sell real estate. I just want to entertain real estate professionals.
Yeah.
With my humor.
Now, I get it. I think real estate's kind of it's a grind. What made you think, I think I could do this? What makes you think I could make an entertainment company specific to the real estate professionals of the world?
Well, I was a struggling realtor myself when I started this 6 years ago. So I was sitting dead open houses, inspections, struggling with cold calls, door knocking, and it seemed like everybody else in the industry was killing it. All I saw on Instagram was people posting motivational quotes, posing in front of cars, just sold, just listed. Everybody was crushing it besides me. So I was like, there's got to be someone that's covering the other side of real estate because 90% of agents fail in the first 5 years. So that's how I figured I could do it. I was always a decent writer. So I started making memes and doing tweets and picked up pretty quickly.
I'm just thinking to myself, they must not have thanked you initially for the perspective. I mean, on one hand, they feel really seen. On the other, you're kind of like, this job sucks.
Well, it's not all negative. It's kind of like the inner monologue of a struggling agent, but there's some wins in there also. I try to make people feel good about themselves. But when I first started, the tone was definitely a lot more depressing than it was now because I was just kind of like a disgruntled, jealous, pissed off real estate agent.
A little more dour at the beginning. So like, for instance, this recent one here says, you know, when you just got your real estate license versus year five.
Yeah.
I get it. You age a little quickly.
Yeah. Quickly. That one's not very funny.
And then he wrote,
there's nothing
you're
funny.
You're picking
about
all the unfunny ones.
With me right here. But the reason I posted those is because it's Star Wars Day. It's May the 4th.
That's right.
See, that one's topical right there. Bill Gates just got a divorce.
So
agent could get 3 sales out of that. So that one performed well.
You're right. They might have to sell a house or they won't be able to afford to live separately.
Exactly. This is buyer. Show me homes in an area where I won't get at a bidding war. Of course, a little SpongeBob goes pretty far. Real estate's a fairly buttoned up kind of world for the most part. And I would say two things that are contradictory are that real estate professionals do look at the bleeding edge of technology a lot more than some industries do, but I wouldn't necessarily peg them for memers. How is this being received in general? Like, do you still kind of get the little weird eye a lot, or how's that work?
At first, yeah, I got basically fired from my brokerage for doing this. So I started this with my friend Wes Pinkston. He's no longer with the company, but we started about 5 years ago. And yeah, like I said, the content at the beginning was a lot edgier than it is now, just because I was trying to make a splash. So I was a lot more insulting and dark than it is. But we did under an alias. I didn't even show my face because I still had hopes that I was going to be a successful real estate agent. So it was kind of more like a side project. But it was received extremely well by actual real estate agents, not my brokerage, because my brokerage was like, we can't have this liability of this lunatic posting a bunch of memes and that could do something that makes our brokerage look bad, basically. So
it makes every brokerage look a little bad, but you know, yeah, and a yeah. little good. Like, it's real.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it definitely picked up relatively quickly, because I think there was no one else that was kind of covering that side of real estate. Like I said, it was all success stories. So I think it immediately resonated with people that were like, oh damn, someone's actually covering the anxiety and the stress and all like the crap that we go through. Can we curse on this? I don't know.
Yeah. It's okay. 7 p.m. here. I mean,
or not that crap's a curse word. I just said substitute crap.
But,
for bullshit,
you know, so don't go too sure. far. Frick would be too far.
Right. Okay.
You know, there's bits of it, you know, that I can resonate with as a seller. There you go. That's about as good as I would do at a repair job.
Yeah. It's like a mouse tool. We just need a band-aid and we could fix this, like a cartoon show.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. Yep. Chris Harrow says, I love it. Eric's next brand, the agent no longer with the company.
Exactly.
But you don't just do memes. I mean, you actually do original content. You had a whole cast of characters you created. Yes. And stuff.
Yeah, I do Instagram reels and skits. I had a YouTube, not show, but I did like a YouTube rap video. I did a lot of skits. I have a podcast. So it's kind of turning into an actual media company, which is great. So at the beginning, I didn't really know what it was going to become. It was kind of mostly just memes and tweets and funny Facebook posts. But then I started actually figuring out that I could turn this into kind of like the Barstool Sports of real estate and have, like you said, a different cast of characters and more media, like blogs, everything social media, podcasting, email marketing, and actually help agents with their social media as well.
Do people ever get upset because they see themselves in your characters?
Yeah, sometimes. There's been a lot of instances where I've posted something that is an actual text conversation from a specific agent. I always try to blur out names, but I get so many submissions of people posting bad real estate picks, and then agents get pissed off that it's their actual marketing. So as the account has grown, there's been a lot of people that have gotten angry with me for posting stuff, because now there's, you know, 280,000 followers on Instagram. So it's actually reaching a decent amount of people.
And you're like, we'll just be better and we won't have a problem.
Exactly. Well, I have another account, Bad Real Estate Picks. And in my profile, it says, if you get exposed on this is your fault. Like, if you're taking photos with your cell phone where you could see yourself in the mirror, or your staging is awful, then that's your fault. You're being a bad real estate agent.
I like that one, because there's an entire subreddit devoted to people who are trying to sell mirrors, and they're trying to find ways to not be in the shot of the mirror. So it's like pure easy brilliance. But your point, I mean, there's a lot of people who come to, I just said about how they're so bleeding edge, but there's a lot of people who come to it who are like dragged into even owning a cell phone, it seems. And I guess you're kind of bringing that out as well. Is there a theme to this? Like, are you saying, I want to make these kinds of jokes and these kinds of stories, not just to entertain, because I really hope that, you know, I can inspire people to make a slightly better choice, or does that filter into it?
At the beginning, no. At the beginning, it was literally just to entertain and grow an actual audience. And I had no idea where it was going to actually go besides just sell some merch and speak at conferences. But as it's developed, there's been a lot of younger agents that have actually reached out to me for advice, which is probably not the smartest thing to do, because I'm called the broke agent and I'm not selling a ton of real estate. But there's a huge gap when you get your real estate license and then when you actually start selling real estate. There's a huge education gap. People have no idea what to do. I felt like a complete fish out of water. I didn't know what escrow was, barely. I felt uncomfortable at every open house. Every conversation I had was extremely awkward. I just felt completely like out of my skin every single time. I felt like I was acting, basically. And there's so many terms and so much that you just don't know that only comes with experience and actually doing a real estate transaction. So now I'm creating a course, not how to sell more real estate, but basically how not to feel like an idiot your first 5 years in real estate. And there's going to be skits and education, and there's going to be lingo and real estate terms decoded. And it's basically going to show people and show the things that I have done, which are so stupid, that shows people that this is what they shouldn't do, basically. I didn't do a great job at describing that, but I think that that's the goal, basically. Yeah.
No, no, I get it.
I have two questions. Oh, go ahead.
No, no, no. I was just going to say, it's interesting because I'm a lawyer, but I don't practice. And boy, like all the ones who want to be lawyers, they don't want advice from me. Number one in my law school class, but they're like, she's a leper. She doesn't practice. Right. Something is wrong with her.
Well, I'm getting influencers that know what they're talking about too. So I'm never going to tell people how to sell real estate, of course. It's literally going to be, these are my mistakes. This is what I did, you know, when I couldn't open the lockbox. This is what I did at a listing appointment that was stupid. This is when I left an open house and I didn't turn off all the lights and the seller got pissed off at me. So it's all these things that you kind of pick up, all these mistakes that you have to experience your first couple of years of real estate. But we want to make people feel more comfortable where they could watch this course or these videos or whatever it turns out to be and be like, okay, I actually feel like I kind of know what I'm doing at this showing. Because there's so much more that goes into it than just the actual, you know, negotiation and transaction. There's millions of conversations you have with other agents and your client's parents, and the client's dad always comes in at the inspection and thinks he knows everything. There's just so many moving parts of the deal that it'll be fun to bring this to life.
So as you're walking through that, I was thinking about the fact that, first off, if you're the broke agent and there's other people who call themselves real estate brokers, it's like you're on a path, like you're heading to be from broke to broker. That's my dumb joke.
Yes.
You like have a significant other in your life. And what I want to know is, did that person decide they were going to be yours while you were still trying to sell houses? And now they're on for a whole different ride.
That's a great question. I actually knew her from high school. So, okay. And I'm sitting at her grandparents' house. That's why this background is older.
It's okay. No, no. You have great taste.
Thank you. So I was still trying to sell real estate, but I had just came out with a real estate rap video, which now, looking back, it should be completely removed from YouTube. It's terrible and it's cringe inducing to watch. But she, because I knew her from high school and she knew that I was always kind of funny, she was okay with the fact that I had this side project that I was more focused on than actually selling real estate. I still sell real estate, by the way, in Brentwood. I just closed a condo a month ago, but slowly phasing that out.
It's gotta be the best. You're sure, like, buy it or don't. I don't care.
Just completely made that up.
I still sell it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Now all I want to do is find this video on YouTube.
No. But I'm gonna remove it right after this, actually.
Eric, creatively, there's a gap between someone who's been funny all through school and has been called funny.
Yes.
And people who can produce. What do you do with your slumps, and what do you do when you are hot? Like, how does the whole process work for you as far as putting it in?
Great question, because there are so many slumps. And from content creation, especially when I first started this, I had to do more real estate to actually get the content, right? So if I didn't have a showing or an inspection or a call with the client, I was running dry on content. So I would basically farm other meme pages, and then I could throw at an open house at the end of basically any joke and basically steal their joke, and it becomes a real estate one. So I would do that. And then I would go in real estate Facebook groups, because that's absolute comedy gold. It's agents that are all just screaming at each other, getting offended by things, pissed off, talking about their problems, posting text conversations. So I'd look at those and I would watch real estate content. I'd scroll through real estate Instagram, look up hashtag realtor, hashtag top producer, hashtag real estate humor, and then kind of study how real estate agents are acting and all the annoying stuff that they post on social media and basically make fun of that. But now when I go in slumps, I get so many submissions, and I actually have people that are constantly sending me content, creating memes for the brand, that it's become less of a problem. But you could tell, like, there's days where I don't post that much or I'm not feeling funny. And, you know, it sucks, because I wake up, I'm like, this is my job. I need to keep producing content. I need to keep growing the brand. And sometimes it just doesn't happen.
There are other meme accounts, some that I know from afar, and one that I'm friends with, for instance, Tank Sinatra.
Yeah, he's great.
George in New York. Do you have some favorites as well, besides, let's say, Tank Sinatra? Like, who's out there that you're like, this guy's killing?
Well, I want to elaborate on Tank Sinatra.
You told
me not to.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's great. He also created Tank's Good News. which is another fantastic Instagram account. He's created an entire brand, I think Brandfire. So he's doing social media strategy. And I think people that could actually turn this into a business are, and he actually shows himself now. He's doing Instagram Reels and he's kind of the brand himself. So he's fantastic. But in terms of my industry, there's a guy named Corporate Bro that does basically sales humor. And he's hilarious, but he does acted out skits, which is more impressive than what I'm doing. So he does 3 minutes to 5 minute IGTV videos, YouTube videos. He has a YouTube show where it's basically him in the office and he has all this cast of recurring characters and everything. And he's really fun to watch because he's doing what I want to do as well eventually.
You'll need to get your girlfriend involved. You need more people to play different parts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I have some people now, which is great. I don't think my girlfriend will be acting in the real estate content videos. I think she'd rather
not.
Yeah.
Carol's asking, do you ever batch create your content in advance?
Yeah. Not as much as I should. I should schedule all my posts because if I go on a bender during a weekend or something and I'm not capable of posting, then the brand literally just stops. But you know, today was May the 4th, Star Wars Day. So last night I created a bunch of Star Wars memes. So I just kind of base it on a holiday that's coming up or something that's in the news. Then I will try to stay relevant and whatever's trending basically. And I have like an entire bank of content that I could refer back to.
In the old days when relatives would get their first email account, they used it purely to send the worst jokes you'd ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some sort of analog to this now that you're meme guy. My guess is that as meme guy, you get sent a lot of really dumbass ideas.
Oh my God.
How do you work on that? What's your method for like really politely going, ha ha, thanks, and just not doing anything?
That's basically what I do. I could just tap on Instagram DMs that likes the actual thing. But great point, Chris. They send me so much awful content. Real estate agents are not funny. There's a lot of them that are, I guess, but I'd say the majority definitely are not. And I could see this space. You can see this space unintentionally, yes. But I created a Facebook group, a private Facebook group where people could actually submit their content and then I could farm that content and then use that. So I just created this recently because this is becoming a problem where people will create a video, even put my watermark on it and say like, hey, can you post this? I've really worked hard on this. But I'm at the point now where I have to be mindful of my content and that I have a standard to uphold as well. So I can't just be promoting agents that are producing crap content, which is a lot of them.
Remy wants you to know that he's freaking hilarious. So just so you know.
Okay, cool. You could send me posts. That's great, Remy.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Of course, so, it looks like he's a helicopter pilot. So I don't think it's a fit.
You just say that again, too?
I don't know.
Keeps posting.
No,
it.
I put it back.
Oh, okay, got it.
Because I wanted to look at the picture.
Those were live. Okay.
Yeah, he looks like a real estate professional.
Well, Carol vouches for him, so.
Okay.
There we go.
Carol knows he's funny. There we go.
Carol.
So we're going to be able to see more stuff. I have one last question, then I'm going to boot you backstage. What is the, you know, what's the next couple years if it goes the way you plan and nothing fails too badly?
I create a template platform for real estate agents. So a lot of agents don't know what to post. So now you could brand the Broke Agent content, funny GIFs, infographics, memes, and you could actually post it to social media. So I've done this for about a year and I think I've signed up over 1,000 agents. And this is kind of like a monthly recurring thing where there's other content as well. There's buyer's guides, seller's guides. So this has been a great way to evolve my content for agents to post that it's not necessarily agent to agent humor, but agent to client humor. So it helps them get more deals and it's great for their marketing because humor is the best form of marketing. So that, podcasting, skits, videos, blogging, speaking gigs, and I've done a little bit of all this, but I want this to become, like I said, the barstool of real estate and have a bunch of people that work and produce content. I could help them grow, help grow their real estate brand, and then eventually branch off into education. So that's the goal.
So it's not big. Selling real estate.
No, never. That was never my path. I like sports. I don't even really like real estate. It's just I happened to become the receptionist at a brokerage for a temp job for 2 weeks, and then I became a buyer's agent. Now I'm here. So if I could do this over again, it would not be real estate. It would be sports. I just undermined.
You can make fun of sports just as well as you can make fun of real estate.
Oh, and that might be the next.
There's so much out there already.
It'll be the next. Yeah.
And he sells the Broke Agent to Caldwell or somebody.
Yeah, exactly. This could also branch off to the broke actor, the broke attorney, the broke, you know, you could have different industries that have people that are disgruntled in their professions and other personalities that kind of have this, and we promote each other, sell merchandise, hold conferences, who knows? So that's the goal. Right.
I'm Sweet. Pushing you backstage.
All right.
Stick around.
Just say boop.
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 All right. Listen, before anyone runs off, don't forget, we give away cryptocurrency if you're here at the end of the show. If you're here to put in your name, then you're going to get cryptocurrency.
You're going to get
real money.
Backpack coin.
And these backpack coins are redeemable for things like wanting to come backstage. You can come backstage and watch the whole damn show from behind the scenes. You get to see the setup. You get to see who had the worst setup, Carla or Eric. You get to find out who made the worst bad jokes.
The ridiculously inappropriate things, Chris will
say. Many bad things I say, like all the yellow cards you don't get to see. There's a lot to being backstage. So we'll tell you how to get some of that coin. Let me read some ads.
Or you can just keep it and not do anything with it, which would be fine.
You hold it. It's worth money eventually, or maybe not. I keep making and losing plenty of money. Hey, hate our faces? Listen to us instead. Castos has a wonderful podcast platform. Well, I have to hate our voice, then we're screwed. Castos.com is a podcast hosting site. We use it for the Backpack Show. You can do it too. Get some. Okay. Hey. Would you like a .online account? Sure you do. You can have .online. You could have brokeagent.online for one whole US dollar, which is worth less than my backpack coin. Use the code Chris, all caps, and you could get one for the first year anyway. We're sponsored by StreamYard. You want to make a cool ducky show? Why? Because StreamYard's logo is a duck. I don't know. Look in the upper left corner. See it? Duck.
Nope.
Look at. See where it says live. 21.
Oh, yeah.
Go further. See a mallard?
There yes, you
go.
Thank you.
Sponsored by StreamYard.
It's totally different. Ducks. That duck has headphones, obviously.
Well, this duck is swimming. He can't have headphones.
That's true. Now you're making sense.
Now listen up. If you hate Google, and who doesn't really, you could go to a whole new kind of search engine. We're sponsored by Presearch. This was paid for with backpack coins. And then they went back and they bought another one. And then they went back and they bought another one.
So the sponsorship?
Yeah.
With backpack coins.
We have three with backpack coins. They bought three in a row now. So 3 weeks of pre-search now, one at a time. This is a decentralized search engine. This is where things are going. There's a whole concept called decentralized autonomous organizations, DAOs. And this is not necessarily that, but it's in the family of things like this. Presearch.io, protect your privacy, earn crypto rewards, and end the search monopoly. I just made myself laugh thinking end the search monopoly. So that was going to be a thing. That was going to be a thing. So
sweet thing.
We're going to show you at the end of the show how to get some of these coins. So stick around. You will be there. Hey, Debbie says she used Presearch today. I am not surprised, but I'm surprised. Presearch.io. Okay. That's it.
Hey, and apparently there's swimmer headphones.
Oh, I guess there are. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that.
And Elizabeth also suggests that Eric branch out into sports agents too.
Years.
All different jobs. You can make fun of anybody. I've done it my whole life. And
and on that note, hi, Carla.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We need to talk to you about how to be differentiated, because if Eric's going to start an entire empire of broke people, I mean, that's a pretty low bar, right? Like, there's a lot of broke people in a lot of cultures. So you wrote the book on differentiation. Help us out, strategy boss. What's this book going to give to people like Eric, who needs to decide where to go in his next few acts?
Well, I think Eric already has a great head start with his humor and his recognition of the importance of skit and really meeting his customers where they are. And what Differentiated does is really help us to identify those places where our organizations can deliver what really matters the most to our customers in a way that really honors what makes each of our companies or our nonprofits unique in the marketplace. And so we're really kind of celebrating what makes us special and finding a way to then power that to deliver something really fabulous to our customers. It's pretty simple, really.
That was very eloquent and a lot more brief than I thought it was going to be.
I can go longer. Hey, I'm a consultant. I can talk in paragraphs.
Yes, you can. You've been at this particular mindset for a while, and there's I feel like there's two types of people. Oh, presearch.com is the search engine. I'm so sorry, Kate. Here I am doing an ad read and I'm blowing it. So you have, for instance, you've been doing differentiation kind of work for a while. So it's this book may be a new book that came out this year, but differentiation in general has been your one of your strategy legs in the stool for a very, very long time. What made that the one? What made that the one you said, I'm going to anchor on this, and this is how I'm going to step away from everybody else doing things?
Oh, you bet. Well, most of my career has been working in the nonprofit arena. So museums, universities, private schools, animal shelters, you know, other kinds of groups that are really looking to stand out in the marketplace because they want to attract donors and, you know, support as well as recognition for their mission. And I realized years ago that basically every client I ever had was really looking to differentiate in the marketplace. Too many felt that they were the best kept secret, which as we know is not a good place to be. And once I realized that was true, what I did was I really wanted to deliver as much of my kind of talent as I could to help them figure out how do we really capture what makes you special? And then how do we build your business strategy or your game plan to make that a reality? And just trial and error and a lot of just hands-on experience. Basically, I earned my own PhD, if you will, along the way. And I had a what I call a really career-defining eureka experience in 2018, where I realized, gosh, Carly, you've really landed on something that might be special here. And maybe it's worth pursuing to see if you really have an idea that could be of benefit to other people, too.
So it sounds like there was a gap there between what you picked up in your own education and what you needed to know to be successful, just like Eric with, you know, getting his real estate license and then being like, okay, now what am I supposed to do?
You bet. Well, I think especially, you know, consulting is can be a bit of a lonely profession, if you will. You know, you certainly have colleagues and folks that you work with, but you're often, you know, especially as you get to be more experienced in your field like I am, you're like the person who's like in front of the client. Right. So the client's really looking to you to have the answers. And as I've evolved in my career, of course, I'm doing a lot of mentoring and that sort of thing, too. But what I found was I was doing a lot of self-study. And one of my goals with writing the book has been to basically make my tools and my ideas available to other consultants who want to really upskill, especially today, because, you know, coming out of the pandemic, none of our organizations are the same as they were in 2019. So you can't just like dust off your old business plan or dust off your old strategy and hope to update it a little bit to stand out today, because all of our customers are different too. And we really need to understand, you know, how we can really matter the most to them and deliver on that experience so that we can really achieve competitive advantage is really what it comes down to.
The overview, for instance, that I saw on the site talking a little bit about going through this, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you get it on 4 post-it notes. You have to understand what's going on. You got to reveal things. You have to discover things, and then you have to design. But it, of course, is so much more than that. One question I have about that is just that how much there has to be there for this to really work? If I'm selling hot dogs out on the street, am I going to be able to differentiate, or is there like some kind of a ceiling to this?
Well, I do think that for every company, well, think about it this way. You're either competing on cost or you're competing on differentiation. There really isn't anything else. And who can compete on cost? You might be able to do that for a while, but that's often a slippery slope because somebody else will figure out a way to sell the hot dog for 10 cents less. So everybody's going to walk 2 blocks over to get the cheaper hot dog. So I think especially today where authenticity and imagination and creativity are so, I think, sought after by customers of all types, you know, finding a way to really tap into that differentiation that all of us have. What I found in my work is I'm either helping to uncover something that was there that was maybe underappreciated, or I'm quite frankly giving my clients the courage to really own the thing that makes them really awesome and to really celebrate that to attract more of the customers. And again, these are many of them nonprofits. And so it helps them really to deliver on their mission in a more powerful way and make a bigger difference in the world. And, you know, that's so much, you know, needed today.
Maybe the problem is your marketing, Chris. You should put up a hot dog stand that's like enormous wieners.
Mm. Highly differentiated.
For cheap.
Yeah.
One of the things I saw in reading about you is also just that you're trying really to help companies that are, I don't want to say it to sound bad. There's so many companies that are like, oh, it turns out people like if we like a cause, I guess we'll just go pick a cause. You're trying to really align that a little bit. Those must be some difficult conversations, especially when someone's kind of picking cause of the month.
It really is. Well, and the same thing happens with nonprofits too, where it's easy to just chase the money, right? We're going to kind of, we'll say we're really about this, but if a foundation is going to offer us a grant for that, we'll just go chase after that. And we'll kind of give up what it is that we've believed in. But I think also on the customer side, what's important to realize is that, you know, each of us with the power of the cell phone, or especially today, the smartphone, quite frankly, each of us can kind of, you know, scroll or click or find something that really catches our attention at the drop of a hat. And so it makes it that much harder for an organization to really stand out, because we really need to understand what's going to really, you know, as we talked about earlier, really garner that attention like Eric has in his work, to get somebody to say, I'm going to pay attention to that and I'm going to engage with that work, especially if it is, you know, purpose or mission based.
So one way that you differentiate yourself from other strategists and consultants in the world is your art. And
yes,
we get a lot of that. What medium do you use the most, and where are you in your journey with art, and what are you trying to get at with it?
Oh gosh. Well, thank you for having pictures. So I started out painting in acrylic, and I started out, I was hoping really to be a landscape painter when I started. I love landscapes, but I'm a crappy landscape painter. It's just not where my energy and my talent shows up. And what's been interesting is I've been painting more and more as my work was taking off in differentiation. And what I found was that by happy accident, you know, kind of quoting Bob Ross, the famous PBS artist, you know, I kind of found the process that you can see right there, where I started layering paint of different types. So I might layer latex over acrylic, or latex over oil, or a combination. I'm literally pouring white house paint on top of other paint. And then I'm using my palette knife to kind of dig in and excavate the paint, or kind of pull it up, if you will, while the latex is making a little bit of a coating, almost like your ice cream cone at Dairy Queen. You know how it makes that shell? Then I kind of dig that up and make that and create new pieces. So it's really, I just love it. It's a lot of fun, and you can, you know, you really get lost in the experience of it. And then you just have the joy of creating something original that I find then just fuels my originality and my approach to strategy too.
How big are these pieces that we're looking at right now?
Some are like that one right there I've got right here with me. It's about, I think it's 30 by 48. That one is probably closer to 24 by 24. You know, I can only get a piece that I can fit in my RDX in the trunk, right? I have a friend with a big pickup that could bring some bigger canvases over.
Big though. You specialize in like big ass art.
Yeah.
Big abstract art.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get to make bigger strokes. I mean, that's, you know, I was thinking about it recently, you know, each of us has a big life. You know, how do you power through and make bigger strokes? And so, you know, I just painted my studio, and when I was going back through it, it's like, oh no, you can see the places where I've gone through with my palette knife, like a piece like that, and paint will be like flying around in the studio a little bit. So I just don't let my husband in my room anymore.
Well, if you start hanging up plastic tarps, people ask questions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Kate wants to know how long it takes you to make one of those pieces.
You know, a great question, Kate. So it's a multi-step process. And so depending on the type of paint, I may actually have between 5 and 7 or 10 layers of paint. And so you'll need it to dry. Of course, with oil paint, that takes longer. So it'll be over the course of several weeks. But in terms of total hours, I work pretty quickly. Once I get inspired, I just want to kind of get in there and create. So the actual process may be a few hours at a time, but then I'll have to set it aside and come back to it.
I want to point something out too, that people, you know, probably can't read at the size of the screen right now.
Yeah.
A lot of these are very affordable. Spring Cleanup is a $450 piece. Pudge, yes, which is the one I'm looking at right now. So don't anyone else look at it. Pandemic yeah.
Pudge. Yes. I look at clan. Pandemic Pudge every day.
Oh, Pandemic Pudge is a good one. This is a little cutie that I made. This is like 10 by 10.
That was like popcorn art. Like one of the
It's got a lot of texture, if you can see that from the side.
But you really have to go to Carla Rain's art to see this, by the way.
Check that out. So this is a very early piece I did. So I just wanted to show you how much my work has evolved over 10 years.
Wow.
So it's fun. Yeah, once I kind of got into abstraction.
Can we look at the little one again?
Oh, yeah. It's a cutie. It's called Smoke.
That's also super affordable too. I saw that one right after Pandemic Pudge.
Yeah.
That's number 3 in the list.
Can I get it straight for you? But yeah, there's a lot of texture on there that you can see.
Wow. Yeah. So what are you feeling when you're working on something like that? Different for every piece?
You know, just talking about it, ecstasy. I mean, it's a thrill. My mom was a painter, from her whole adult life. And when I started painting, and I was older when I started, she said, Carla, there's just nothing like painting. And so for me, I love color. I love texture. I want to have an experience of joy in a piece. And so it's like transcendent in a way. It's just really, really special. And so it just makes me so happy. You can tell.
So Chris, Kate wants to use backpack coin to buy one. So set that up.
Thank you. You can buy books too with backpack coin.
And Carol wants to know how you know when a piece is done.
Oh my gosh, Carol, that is the best question. I'm an intuitive person, and I think, and I've had pieces. I worked on a piece last weekend that I took too far, which can happen. You can, and then it's like, crap, that piece is kind of, I'm not happy with it now. But with a technique like mine, it's great. You just layer over it again and make something else. But yeah, I think you just know intuitively if it's done. I might hope a piece is done, but I can usually tell. It's like, I might love it, but I realize it's not really finished. And it's interesting because one of the things I really talk about in Differentiated is, as organizations, there may be things that we love about our work, our companies, but our customers are indifferent to that. So they're going to kind of give it a nod or a shrug. So I kind of try to use that same sense. It's like, is it really make me happy, or is it just, or I might hope it's better than it is, or I might hope it's more finished than it is, and just say, you know what? Not for me.
This book is definitely worth taking and grabbing. It's if you felt something when you were looking into the art, this is the book version of some of that art. That's the best way for you to take a look at them.
Thank you. It was, I always tell people I can't take credit for the art in the book. And it was really fun to actually create a book that's full color. And it's fun to actually have your own book and have your own notes in the margin, which has been cool. But Tony Steck is the designer who really put the book together for me. And, my husband said to me, he said, honey, he said, it's great. He said, it doesn't look like just another business book.
Exactly. And that
can
is,
you paint one for us? Just drizzle on it.
It's important to differentiate.
Send you one as a present.
And then we'll sell it on with backpack coin.
Oh, we could with backpack coin.
You can get a really good layer on that outside cover.
I could, yeah.
And then people would have to put it front facing on the bookshelf because they can't cram it in between other books.
You're right, they'll break it.
Fine.
Yeah, you got to save it.
Pink's fine.
All right, I'm grabbing our man Eric, and we're going to get back to the end of this.
Differentiate some more.
Hello, senior.
Hello.
Have you made a meme or two while we were waiting?
Maybe sold a house.
Yeah, I just posted 5 memes. No, I was checking actually my cryptocurrency, believe it or not. It's plummeting right now.
Oh, well, stick around. ETH and for no good reason, Dogecoin just keeps going up. Carla, where are you on social? Found one account, but not the other account. Is it me?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All of those places through my name, Carla Raines, and also Differentiation Zone. Our hashtag is Your Org Matters out at Twitter and also on Instagram. Instagram's a fun place to be in strategy because there's not a lot of other people out there. So try to bring that artistic flair to
Since launching this show, we found out that Instagram is sort of the secret hangout of everybody, and that you're like people like me who love Twitter are basically an old man, on the side of the lawn.
Yelling at clouds.
Yep. Eric, what do you think? Do you think you could work in some of that kind of acrylic and big heavy latex paint kind of work?
I don't know how that would work with the Broke Agent, but I did have a cartoon book called Commission Impossible, and I could use another artist for that. So maybe we could work that in, actually.
let's talk.
Most realtors are like, we're going to paint this whole place beige. So
exactly.
Yeah.
It's rocket. Can I have an accent wall? And they're like, no. No, yeah,
this accent wall is about the only thing in this place that's that color. Everything else is go to hell white. But we'll see.
Then you're ready to sell. Congratulations.
Kate wants to pre-order the book. You're sending them. Oh, Kate wants to buy that book before it goes out to anybody else. She wants Differentiated painted.
Oh, the painted one.
Carla, we'll get in touch with you and we'll work this out.
Is that your cat I see over there?
Who has it?
Who's
the cat?
I'm afraid so.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Chris, buddy. Feline invasion coming your way. Hit the floor, man. Hit the floor.
She just loves you so much.
There's something about owning a black cat.
So. I did wear my sequins since we're, you know, now that you're in the evening show.
Fancy. Yes, yeah, thank you. I had a sequin wall last night, but people missed my background because I have little pieces from previous guests and stuff. So I said, oh, right.
You had to get back to the background.
Right back.
All right. Listen, we're going to ask you some questions and then we're going to talk a little bit about cryptocurrency. So everyone stick around to the end to get that crypto that we're doing. But we have to ask you the one last question. We ask, we have to do person of the day first. Do I even run a show?
So many things.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Boy, I don't, you know what I'm going to give it to? I'm going to give it to our new guy, Remy, and his giant meat tubes.
Yay! That was a good one.
That was his hot dog company name, Giant Meat Tubes.
There's a man who understands good marketing.
Guy's yeah, funny. He should DM me.
Remy, go find the broker. He's the
funniest real estate agent.
Remy, if you have a rally.io account, we'll send you some backpack coin because you're person of the day.
Because you're person of the day, you get some coins just for being that person. All right. So we ask the same question to every guest that's ever been here. And it's the only question like that in the whole show, which is the question, what goes in your backpack? Now, this could be something physical. It could be something metaphorical. Carrie, what's a good example of something physical people could put in their backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth, just in case. It could be also something metaphorical. What would be a good metaphorical thing to add to a backpack?
Kindness.
Every time. So yeah, that's what we got. So I'm going to start with Carla this time, and I'm going to ask you the question, what goes in your backpack?
You know, I think I'm packing my palette knife. So if I'm out on a trip or someplace fun and I can grab a tube of paint and I can paint a book cover or do something else fun, that's what I'm going to do.
I like it. And defense.
Yes. Yeah.
Eric Simon, the broke agent. What goes in your backpack, sir?
I'll look at it from a dead open house perspective. I will have my computer. I will have a power adapter for the computer, a cell phone charger, and baby wipes. Always got to have baby wipes on you at all times. Got to stay clean. Flushable ones. Not for actual babies, for myself.
I thought that's kind of a nice thing for the agent to have. Is like, because what if you need that, but you're saying for yourself?
Yes.
All right. We're going to talk just for a quick second about this cryptocurrency shenanigan. So sit around and look awkward, guests. I haven't worked out how to put this into the thing. Listen, you got to go to rally.io and you set up an account. The account's free and it has nothing. It's not tied to your bank or anything like that until you tie it to your bank. From there, you can buy any old thing you want. Rally is a tradable actual coin out on the wide open crypto network.
But we just want to give you some backpack coin. Correct. You can hold it and not do anything with it. Or you could spend 10 backpack coin and come backstage with us and witness that experience.
So, yeah. So six sentences from where I am in my script. Once you get your Rally account, that's, you know, makes you a grown up cryptocurrency holder. There's an entire environment in there called Creator Coin. And there's 120 some odd Creator Coins you could buy. We just want you to buy ours. Get the hell away from all those other people. So you go to rally.io/creator. This is hard to do live. BKPK. And then you can find your backpack coins. Now we, because you are here, are going to send you some. So all you need to do is give us your Rally account name, which you know, once you're logged in, it'll be right there. You can just tell us it's just an account name. Send us that account name and we will give you coins. Type it right in right now if you have it.
Or you can email me if you have to set one up and it takes longer than like, it doesn't take long at all.
It's fast.
Yes,
it's super fast.
But email me, carrie@chrisbrogan.com, with the passphrase New England clam chowder, and I will give you some backpack coins.
What was yesterday? Oh, rutabaga.
Yes, that was yesterday. Today's New England clam chowder.
New England clam chowder. Yeah. So right now, the backpack coin, which is tied to the rally coin, is worth 1.705. This morning, it was worth 1.86. So.
I don't know.
You're missing an S in there, Janice, but yes. strangely, I'm starting to remember people's rally accounts.
That's funny. So many things taking up space in my head I don't want there. Like the ad for Thompson's Clam Bar that ran every summer on Cape Cod on the radio every 30 seconds all summer long. It's there. Well, I can't get rid of it.
One thing I could say about two fabulous guests today is that my grandmother would have definitely run into both of them at one point or another. My grandmother loved to walk into open houses, even if she wasn't in the market. I'll tell you what she did each time, though. This is kind of weird.